Alice Onlin and Herbert Konins are founding partners of Security Token Group. All opinions expressed by them or guests on this podcast are solely their opinions and do not represent the views of Security Token Group or its subsidiaries. You should not take any opinion expressed on the show as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow any investment strategy. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Hello and welcome to the Security Token Show. Thanks to you for those of you who are tuning back in. And remember, those of you listening in audio, we're now on video and actually streaming to you right now from Cape Town, South Africa. My name is Herbert Konins. I'm your host and joined by Kyle Sonlin, my co-host. And we've got a heck of a show lined up for you today, starting off with our companies of the week, where Kyle and I, we each pick one company that we thought made the biggest moves in the space last week. Then we're going to hit you with the top five things that you needed to know that happened last week, followed by my industry and resources update section, and a section by Kyle on the security token market updates and offerings. Finally, we're going to be talking about Binance and how they battled their way with stock tokens.
We've got a great episode lined up for you today. It's episode 101. We just had our 100th anniversary last week, which was pretty exciting. Thanks, everybody, for sticking around. But before we dive into the show, I think that there's one question on everyone's minds. And that's why we left Miami and why we've been here in South Africa. And the answer here is that we're working with a consulting client in the security token space called The Exchange. And I want to dive in and tell you a little bit more about it, but maybe it's better if we hear from our friend Drew.
I'm very purposeful and intentional with the things that I get involved. So at any time, especially when it comes to young people, that you can lift them up and you can provide a platform by which it gives them that type of confidence and that type of belief that they can accomplish anything. Those are the places that I find myself gravitating to. There are so many things I love about The Exchange, but I think the one thing I could say is, I think the most important is the fact that fans, celebrities, these athletes have a chance to participate in the journey together. I believe in the good and the transcending power that The Exchange can mean for so many young athletes, young celebrities, young dreamers in this world. And with Stax being the platform through The Exchange by which we can all participate in the journey of these young athletes and these young dreamers.
Wow, Kyle, that's some riveting stuff. I know we want to get into all that, but you're going to have to wait till next week's episode where we got a special edition covering The Exchange. But for now, let's get into our companies of the week. Kyle, who do you have for episode 101?
My company of the week this week is FV Bank. And FV Bank made headlines. They're a foreign company, but they are the first in history to be awarded a U.S. patent for a stablecoin design. Their idea here is that instead of taking the traditional stablecoin model where you have a bank account that essentially just holds a ton of dollars and then you issue a blockchain-based asset that represents those underlying dollars, they're instead taking government debt and pegging their stablecoin to government debt, which they say is much more risk tolerant. We've seen stablecoin structures where the bank holds this. We've never seen this before with government debt. It'll be a yield-generating stablecoin, and that's really a fascinating idea here. They're really taking it to another level, exploring a new facet of how stablecoins can work, and for that, they've won that company of the week.
I think that's a great choice. That's a very cool application, yield-bearing stablecoins, and a patent to boot. That's pretty powerful. Great choice, Kyle. Let me tell you about mine.
Please.
LCX. They've partnered up with Hedera Hashgraph, that's one of the top 50 blockchains in the world, to bring their Liechtenstein protocol to make sure the digital security standard is available on the Hedera Hashgraph network. So that's pretty amazing. LCX, by the way, has 8 different licenses in Liechtenstein. And of course, they're now making a big partnership to bring security tokens to the masses. So for that, they're my company of the week.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. They've been active in the security token space, LCX, that is, over the past couple of years. And it's great to see them continuing to build infrastructure to make this possible.
Absolutely. And with that, Kyle, I think we can get into our top 5.
Let's do it. So getting into our top 5 news this week, we kick it off with article number 1, and that's that Binance has officially stopped trading all of their tokenized stocks. Mm-hmm. Binance came out recently, launched trading for derivatives of public market securities like Apple, Microsoft, MicroStrategy, and others, and they've now officially decided to pull out of that game after heavy regulatory scrutiny.
Yeah, in fact, that's the source of our main topic today. So we're going to get into all that in heavy detail. So let's get into number two. Chaka, my company of the week a few weeks ago for winning an SEC license in Nigeria to go ahead and trade digitized stocks of companies there in that country. So that's an amazing first. And now, to boot, they've gone ahead and announced that they've raised $1.5 million, including from Brer Capital, as well as Mushu Ventures, Seed Stars, Future Africa, and many others. So that's a huge announcement to go ahead and give this Nigerian token startup a boost.
They're comparing themselves as the Robin Hood of Africa with over 10,000 securities that anyone can buy.
Super cool stuff. What's number three, Kyle?
Moving into number three, we're talking about a token bill that just got brought to the House of Representatives, and that's the Republican Tom Emmer, as well as Democrat Ro Khanna, brought to the House, and they said that digital tokens are not securities. Mm-hmm. They go out of their way to try to define the differences between an investment contract and a future potential digital asset, and they try to argue that the digital assets you're receiving are commodities, not securities, and that they should be taxed that same way.
The bill would actually allow a token that's done through a traditional investment contract sale be separated post-sale so that it can identify commodity-like traits.
Yeah, they claim that there was an unreasonable approach to securities laws that are applied, and they are hurting the American innovation in the financial markets.
There's been a lot of bills that have tried to go through Congress regarding blockchain clarity, so let's see how far this one gets.
And tell us about number four.
Number four, actually getting into Kakao, who was selected as the winner for the Central Bank Digital Currency Project by the Central Bank of Korea. And for those of you who remember from last week's episode, that means that I, Kyle, chose correctly the winner of this contest. We had talked about a couple of different alternative vendors that were trying to win this CBDC prize project. And it turns out that Kakao did actually win because of their relationship to GroundX and Consensus, of course, having their background and expertise in the CBDC space.
If you watch our predictions episodes at the end of every year, it's always Herwig that seems to come out with the best
Definitely
forecasts.
Definitely not always.
And number five, we have OpenSea. They just closed a $100 million Series B led by who other than A16Z, Andreessen Horowitz. And their goals here are to scale their NFT marketplace, also to create interoperability between video games, metaverses, everything to deal with digital assets, and to offer gas-free creation and payments through the Polygon blockchain. And so this is NFT related. We've also seen them issue NFT security tokens. So they're definitely focused on a bunch of different areas. Congratulations to them.
It's super cool. It's an NFT platform for all. It shows you that they're not going anywhere. They're now part of the Unicorn Club as a result of that $100 million raise. And they previously raised only $23 million also from A16Z beforehand. So congratulations, they actually did over $16 million in revenue according to potential their sales and their commissions on average that they would get, I think, last month. So they're growing quite quickly. Definitely will be watching them as well.
And that was our top five headlines, Herwig. How about you take it away with the rest?
Let's do it. It's peak summer, and I've got your latest industry news and resources for security tokens. Starting off with Ripple, once again trying to get their SEC lawsuit dismissed in court. This time submitting evidence on Monday, citing recent remarks from SEC commissioners Hester Peirce and Elad Rossman, which I mentioned on last week's show for those of you returning. I'd mentioned they themselves wanted clarity from their fellow SEC overall regarding tokens being distinguished from securities. And now Ripple's lawyers say that their remarks confirm that there was and remains significant regulatory uncertainty regarding when digital assets may be classified as securities by the SEC, which of course implies that the SEC doesn't have a case because they don't even know themselves. So we'll have to see what the judge says about the new update. Moving forward, we saw a great report come out by RegRadar giving a thorough analysis on the leading jurisdictions for security tokens, with the US actually not being included. The countries that did make the list are Austria, Canada, Germany, Hong Kong, Liechtenstein, Malta, Singapore, Switzerland, and the UK. So go check out that report if any of those interest you. And on CoinDesk's opinion section, an article was published by Gerald David, that's the president of Arca Labs. He gives his outlook on the crypto industry and how Wall Street could get left behind, citing DeFi as a major proponent. And Hacker Noon's Unhashed series also released an interview with Ross Chmielek of Stobox, who spoke about all financial instruments eventually being processed on the blockchain. which would be great news for the endeavor being put together by Box Digital and T0, known as the Boston Security Token Exchange, which for years has been applying and being turned down by the SEC to become a national blockchain-based securities exchange. That's not a broker-dealer, but a NASDAQ-level approved exchange. And they will continue to apply until the SEC gets comfortable, and you can get all those details and more in an interview on Crowdfund Insider with the CEO of the Box, Lisa Fall. And finally, we end on Peter Gaffney's Tokenize This series, talking about tokenizing gyms, a simple and digestible use case for gym owners and clients to invest in gyms and participate in the gains and increase customer loyalty at the same time. You can check that out on the blog at stomarket.com. And that's all the news I have for you this week. Let's get the latest STO and market updates from Kyle.
Our first security token market news comes from American Films, an owner, developer, and acquirer of intellectual property in the film, music, and media industries. In what was a really cool announcement that I'm excited to dig into, the firm announced that it will be direct listing onto the T0 ATS directly from the OTC markets. OTC Markets is the primary exchange for low-cap public equities, including penny stocks and smaller assets that you may have seen on the Wolf of Wall Street. American Films, which is currently public on the OTC markets with an $8.3 million market cap with shares that trade around 70 cents, and I think this is a huge win for T0. I personally haven't seen many other exchanges or marketplaces targeting these small-cap public companies before, and it could be a great way to bring additional assets that already meet the compliance requirements that they need to follow while also having cash flow and are likely more risk-tolerant than their larger-cap versions. The biggest test here is going to be to see how quickly these assets actually list on T0. We've seen a lot of announcements from them in the past, and hopefully this one's for real and can be a scalable strategy for the market in the future. Our next piece of news this week comes in a bunch, and that's from Fusang, an exchange platform for security tokens and blockchain assets in Malaysia. And they have a lot of great updates that they've shared in their newsletter. The exchange first confirmed the listing of Level 01, which is a DeFi platform that's providing automated portfolio rebalancing with artificial intelligence, and that's set to launch in Q4 of 2021, that is. The firm noted that they expect healthy trading activity due to the fact that the company is already profitable, and they've built an active user base of over 50,000 accounts thus far. The announcement then continued from Fusang with the planned launch of the Fusang Crypto 10 ETF, which is a top index tracking fund for the top 10 cryptocurrencies by market cap. It's going by the ticker of C10F, and it will represent 80% of the total crypto market, and it will provide institutional access to the cryptocurrency industry through a regulated and accessible vehicle with a security token. That asset is set to launch by Q4 2021 as well, so you can look out for some great things coming from Fusang by the end of the year. And our final STO update is from Brock's Equity. You may remember hearing about them on a previous episode we've covered, and now I can confirm that they're a verified profile on stomarket.com. They've officially claimed their profile, and they updated all the primary offering information data there on the site, so you're going to be able to go in there and see Brock's Equity plans to raise up to $20 million through a security token offering to unlock value from stranded natural gas assets. We've seen oil and gas be a popular use case so far. They've currently raised about $230,000, and the raise ends in August, so you can check it out on the site and reach out to learn more about profile verification if you're an issuer that wants to do the same thing. Now, let's move into the trading market, shall we? So to kick off the trading segment this week, I do want to remind all of our new listeners to find all of the news and trading data we cover here on the show at stomarket.com. And so for the total security token market cap, it was bouncing back up to $780 million this week following strong upward moves from Blockchain Capital and Spice VC. So I think we need to dive into this trading data just a little bit deeper this week to see what happened with those shares. If you didn't know, Blockchain Capital and Spice VC are two tokenized venture capital funds trading on the U.S. market Open Finance, which was recently acquired by INX. These are two of the original security tokens that listed on Open Finance back in 2019. And while they haven't been able to establish a dominant market on the platform, and they've seen some pretty inconsistent volume over that period, I do have to note that these shares were instrumental in proving the concept for the industry and have really actually made some strong investments in their respective portfolios to date, which is a great sign for the future
of these assets that are trading on the market. However, we saw some pretty interesting things happening here in these two markets since both of these shares were up this week. Since Open Finance essentially operates like a peer-to-peer platform, which requires a buyer or a seller to link up directly with an investor on the other side to fill the trade. There's no underwriting or market making here, so there's really not much liquidity, especially for if you're trying to trade in higher volumes. Because these shares are pretty illiquid, all things considered, they can experience significant price shocks on very small trading volumes, and that's kind of what we've seen this week here with BCAP and Spice this week, as they were both up over 130% on less than just $50 in combined volume. BCAP jumped from $20 last week down to $8 earlier this week, and then closed at $19. And in each of those price swings, literally only one token changed hands each time. So while they jumped hard, I don't think you're going to be able to get much demand on the buy side at these prices. Securitize kind of the same way. I think market making as a topic is very under-discussed in the security token industry, and I'm very excited to see how many of the new platforms, including INX, Oasis Pro, Securitize Markets, Rialto Markets, Texture Capital, Archax, and many others that we're tracking, and to see how their approach for liquidity strategies changes, because even just enabling a price floor or some small level of liquidity support would go such a long way in inspiring investor confidence here in the secondary market. I'm thinking about making a separate video on that topic in the future, so definitely let me know if you'd be interested in a liquidity breakdown and what that could mean for markets. Other news that we've been talking about all episode is that Binance will no longer be offering tokenized stock trading. Because of that, we lose some serious liquidity from the tokenized stock market, as Binance had four of the top 10 trading tokens. We're going to be keeping the prices on our site for historical record, but at this time, these assets are done. And that's a wrap for yet another exciting week in the markets. Do your own research, as always. Hit me up on Twitter and send me all of your hot takes. I can't wait to dive in. Now it's time for the main topic.
Getting into the Security Token Show main topic for episode 101, we're going to be talking about Binance and their journey into stock tokens. Now, Kyle, you've been covering this space quite extensively as a CEO of Security Token Market back when Binance first launched this in April of this year. So why don't you go ahead and give the crowd here a little bit more information on stock tokens.
Yeah, we've covered stock tokens on the market trading segment here for the last couple of months. And really what we're talking about here is derivative shares of a public market equity. There's a company called CN Equities in Germany that's been buying up a ton of public market shares and then providing exchanges like Binance or FTX or Bittrex to be able to actually issue these derivative shares to the crypto community. Now, this started back in 2020 when FTX and Bittrex were pioneering this with a large batch of these tokenized shares, up to 20 or 30 on their platform, and they were doing that very successfully through 2021 until April when Binance came into the game. They drew a ton of additional volume there, but with the volume and eyeballs that they brought some regulatory scrutiny as well.
Yeah, Binance does carry a bit of a notoriety to their brand, and of course, regulators took notice about all the activity that was happening on the Binance platform. And so ranging from the UK to Germany to Hong Kong and many others, they came out and basically disavowed what Binance was doing, citing various securities concerns, in some cases requiring private placement memorandums and legal documents to be filed in those jurisdictions in order to comply with their stock token trading. So that was very interesting, and it happened so much so that the U.S. actually keened in on this as well. SEC Commissioner Gary Gensler recently had a speech echoed in some comments on this, right, Kyle?
Yeah, he decided to come out. It was a different forum speech, but at the end of his conversation, which was unrelated, he took a minute to discuss crypto and synthetic stock tokens, and he basically said that any synthetic exposure to a security has to comply with securities laws. So this includes stock tokens, it could include stable coins that are backed by securities, it could also include any kind of synthetic exposure to the underlying securities, and they must subscribe to the laws, including decentralized systems. And that was a big thing for him to come out and really kind of outline those things specifically.
Yeah. Binance is trying to kind of reform, if you will. So they've gone ahead and complied. As you heard earlier from our top five, they are now no longer offering tokenized stock trading. Now they've gone ahead and partnered up with CM Equity in the future to try and launch a portal with them, CM Equity's own portal, and then revert Binance users to that portal in order to continue trading and change their balances to that new portal. Although they did mention that there would be new KYC requirements as a part of that process. And that's very, very interesting because there's an article that came out that actually came out in the block featuring CM Equity's CEO saying that actually this had nothing to do with regulation whatsoever and that Binance chose to opt out for its own business reasons, which was made a very interesting statement given that we did see a lot of public regulatory outcry with what Binance was doing. But we do know that FTX and Bitrex continue to operate and without any concern or outcry from regulators doing the same exact thing.
That seems to back up CM Equity's claim that it's not a legal issue, or else you'd think that they would also have encouraged FTX or Bittrex to do the same, especially FTX, who has been very publicly profiled recently. They've been very aggressive with their marketing. You would have expected something there if there was an issue. We'll have to see how this pans out.
Absolutely. And it leaves the industry in quite a little bit of a confusion. It's a relatively brand new industry, but the applications for tokenized stock trading are grand. We saw tens of millions of dollars of trading activity in the short amount of time that this space has been
around. $334 million, to be exact.
That's a lot. So, you know, that is showing that there's proof of international demand for tokenized stocks. I don't think this industry is going to go anywhere. I think it's only going to evolve and grow. But right now, it certainly leaves a lot of confusion, and it usually bets the same for security tokens, which is you need to follow securities laws in order to comply. So we'll see if Binance eventually does anything to get back into the game. But for now, it seems like CM Equity will be launching its own portal, and we still have FTX and Bitrex alive and well. And who knows who may else jump into the game or which regulators go ahead and start going after some of these other players.
Yeah, I think it proves the use case that there is demand internationally for access to securities. There's not enough opportunity for international investors to be able to get exposed to those things. It really helps define the promise of tokenization and security tokens because of this increased demand. I think that not a lot of people were expecting, for example, that Grayscale Bitcoin Trust would be one of the highest traded volume tokens through FTX's platform by such a significant margin in number one, by the way, that it's more than double second place. So the arbitrage opportunities are there. Real world security opportunities are investable for crypto people. They don't have to be separated industries.
A fascinating use case. It also allows for 24/7 trading of these stocks as opposed to having to wait on the 9 to 4 on Wall Street. So it definitely has a lot of different benefits and use cases, and that's why it's not going anywhere. So hopefully you learned a little bit more about Binance and stock tokens here. That's our show for you today. Hopefully, you know, if you have any questions, you know, you can go ahead and reach out to us on LinkedIn or Twitter, or go ahead and go to our website, Security Token Market, stomarket.com, where you can get the latest trading information, you can get the latest news, or you can even go to our blog and read research reports as well as a lot of different information about the space.
Follow Security Token Market on Twitter, STO Market, because we also host a chat, a security token speakeasy, as we call it, 5 p.m. Eastern time on Thursdays, where we discuss the main topic here, bring in thought leaders, and have a cool conversation around what's going on
always
in the space.
A fun time.
We also have the What's Drippin' newsletter where you can subscribe to that and read about some of the great things happening in the space. We've got a ton of content. Subscribe on YouTube and show us some love. We really appreciate everybody checking it out. We'll talk to you next week.
Happy tokenizing.